When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Picture this. It's the 1980s. The most feared man in America is from Brownsville, New York. His name is Iron Mike Tyson. Now, scratch that. Picture this. It's the 1990s, and the most feared man in America is named Iron Mike Tyson. No, wait, hold on. Picture this. It's the 2000s, and the most feared man. You get the idea.
There were three black men who ruled the world during this time. It was Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson, and it was Mike Tyson. And everybody wanted to be Mike. The only question was, which Mike do you want to be?
Mike Tyson, as you've never seen him before, in this one-of-a-kind ABC News docuseries, Mike Tyson, The Knockout, The Climb, The Crash, and the comeback of his boxing career. The man who was undisputed world heavyweight champion from 1987 to 1990. His first win at 20, making him the youngest fighter to hold the title. You're going to hear from people like actress Rosie Perez, the first lady of boxing.
Mike Tyson was called the baddest man on the planet because he was the baddest man on the planet.
The four-hour series is also going to take a look into his personal life, which has been riddled with controversy. If you are a lover of this podcast, you are a lover of storytelling, you definitely don't want to miss ABC News' Mike Tyson, The Knockout.
Boom! Welcome to Mike Tyson's world.
The staggering documentary event premieres Tuesday night, May 25th on ABC and next day on Hulu.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer here from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. And you're listening to Growing Up the Same with Trayvon Edwards and Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka. And now, here's your starting lineup. Trayvon Edwards, Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka.
And today, we have a special guest. We have Prem Saripapat. How you doing?
Boom. You nailed it. I'm doing great. Yes, my Wikipedia page is accurate, fairly. They might have gotten some things wrong. I'm looking through it. They might have gotten some things wrong in there, but I mean, who knows who's adding whatever to this. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Prem Saripapat is an American tennis player. She was previously a television anchor on ESPN. Saripapat was the co-host of Spain and Prem on ESPN Radio.
And now it's time for the one or the two with J Skills.
Tennis or piano?
Tennis.
Wimbledon or U.S. Open?
U.S. Open.
Venus or Serena?
You gotta pick one. Serena.
Agassi or Sampras?
Agassi.
Federer or Nadal?
Oh. A lot of people aren't going to like, but I like Rafa.
I do too.
He's got that grit.
Yeah. Djokovic or Murray?
I'll go with Andy Murray.
Naomi Osaka or Sloane Stephens?
Osaka.
Madison Keys or Coco Gauff?
I love both. And I love Osaka and Sloane too, but Coco, because she's the up and comer.
Yeah. Simona Halep or Ashley Barty?
Simona Halep.
Indoor or outdoor tennis?
Outdoor.
Clay or hardcore?
Hardcore. I'm a hardcore player. Actually, no, I'm not. People have dubbed me as a clay quarter, but I grew up in America, so hard court.
The Big Bang Theory or Adam and Eve?
Neither. Is that an answer?
Yeah, you can say that. Harry Potter or Twilight?
Neither.
Yeah, you can do that. Elon Musk or Steve Jobs?
Steve Jobs.
I don't know if you listen to J. Cole, but Forest Hills Drive or The Offseason?
Offseason.
Drake or Kendrick?
Kendrick.
Michael B. Jordan or Adam Driver?
Michael B.
Tom Brady or LeBron?
LeBron.
Ben Affleck or A-Rod?
Huh, that's an interesting pair. I'm just gonna go with Ben Affleck. I don't know, gravitating towards that.
Would you rather see a black Batman or black James Bond?
Oh, a black Batman.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunrise.
Italy or France?
Italy. Pizza all day. I could eat pizza all day.
Beethoven or Mozart?
Beethoven.
Black or white sneakers?
Black. I always wear black. It's because I'm too messy.
Bart or Lisa Simpson?
Lisa Simpson.
Peter or Stewie Griffin?
Neither.
Tulips or orchids?
Orchids.
Play-in tournament or wild card weekend?
Play-in tournament.
Kenny Mayne or Dan Patrick?
Interesting. I guess Kenny Mayne? Question mark?
I guess. Sarah Spain or Mina Kimes?
Both.
Bridesmaids or Wedding Crashers?
Bridesmaids.
Ray or Ali?
Ali.
Keeping a journal or keeping a schedule?
Ooh, both. I love both. I do both. I do journal first, and then I do my schedule.
Kwame Brown or Matt Barnes?
Kwame Brown.
Norah Jones or Alicia Keys?
Alicia.
Clive Davis or Puff Daddy?
P. Diddy, Puff Daddy.
Mary J. or Whitney Houston?
Whitney Houston.
TikTok or IG?
IG.
Peloton or walking in your neighborhood?
Peloton.
Chef's Table or House Hunters?
Ooh, I love Chef's Table.
Shark Tank or American Idol?
Shark Tank.
Remembering what you're about to say or sneezing when you're waiting on it to come?
Wait, what?
Remembering what you're about to say, like when you lose your train of thought and you remember it, or when you sneeze when you were waiting on the sneeze to come?
The sneezing situation.
For sure. Laptop or iPad?
Laptop.
Old movies or new movies?
Oh, old movies. Anybody that knows me, like, I'm like the worst with movies. I just watch the same thing over and over for 30 years.
What's your favorite movie?
You don't want to know. I don't really have one, but I've been known to watch Porky Romano. So that's, I'm like a really bad movie watcher.
Very random entry.
Yeah, I know. It's, I have bad taste.
LA or NY?
NY.
And the last one, Duke or Carolina?
Obviously Duke. Yeah.
That was a win. I mean,
that was an easy one. We named our son Duke, so I can't really go the other way.
Squeaky doors, clogs sing, finicky engines. When things break around the house, you take care of it. However, when something's off in the bedroom, you just try not to think about it. Come on, man. What are you waiting for? That's a problem that needs to be fixed. So take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/BOM now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/POM and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/POM right now, and you'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time to take care of your ED. Remember, get started today. You'll save $15 on your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/POM.
Well, that was definitely cool. Some of them things I didn't even know what they were when Jason asked. I was just like, I'm going to sit this one out. I'm going to drink my water in the back and mind my business. But let's take some time traveling and go back and talk about young Prim. What was your connection with playing tennis with your family?
My parents just started something that they picked up when we were living. I was born in Mexico, Missouri, and they just picked it up. And my older brother, who's 5 years older than I am, he started playing. And then naturally, as a baby of the family, I picked it up, but obviously much younger than everybody else did. So I was 7 years old when I started, and I don't remember my first time on the tennis court, but it just started out as like a fun family thing to do and kind of grew from there.
What was the tradition of getting Dairy Queen or KFC after?
Yeah, it's just like one of those, I don't really remember how it started, but it would always be during the summer and it was really hot. And I think because my dad worked, so we would often go at nighttime, and also they didn't want to play in dead smack in the middle of the day. So we would go out at like maybe like 6 or 7 o'clock, and we would play for, you know, maybe like 30 minutes, an hour, sometimes 2 hours. And it was so humid, it was so hot. And then afterwards my dad loves KFC, which ironically, I just had KFC for the first time in like many years. I'm pregnant, so gave myself the pass on that. And my dad and my mom would always take us to KFC or Dairy Queen after we played tennis. It was just like a nice little treat afterwards.
Do you remember any specific favorite orders?
Well, the KFC, I mean, we didn't do anything exciting. We just got the family meal with the coleslaw and mashed potatoes and biscuits. And then every once in a while, my mom and I would get the, there's like this like strawberry shortcake sundae or something. I don't even know if they still have it. And then from Dairy Queen, I think I would just get like a sundae or something. But it was just like a normal banana split sundae.
Yeah, I think I remember the KFC, like, it's kind of like, not a parfait, but it was like some like strawberry treat.
Yeah.
It was pretty delicious, yeah.
I wonder if they still have that. I don't know.
I haven't been to KFC probably like 9 years.
I hadn't either. And all I know is that we waited for a little while for chicken tenders, and the mashed potato size was really small. So I was like, I don't know if this is like a thing where fast food isn't fast anymore, because I hardly ever go, but you know, it was still good.
Yeah. What was your relationship with climbing trees?
I was like a little monkey. I loved getting into stuff and I loved climbing. And I would always climb trees at my house, by the tennis courts. Red bud trees were the best. That just the way the branches were, how they grew, they were like very wide and they also started lower. And I love just climbing and hanging up in the tree. Sometimes I would sit there for an hour or two, read a book. It was just like, I don't know, it was just like a thing. And I've always been, my upper body strength has always been fairly strong compared to my body weight. So I could always like pull myself up to different places. And so that was like my thing.
Yeah, I don't know if I could relate as far as climbing trees, just because it's so much like ants, like an ant trail. That's probably like a small fear of mine, like seeing like ants, like touching a group of ants at the same time, or like trying to scale. But I did like I was able to like, I learned how to like hop fences and stuff like that. Cause we used to hoop on like, there's like basketball courts, like the blacktop, and like school would be out. So like these gates were like super high and I would just kind of scale it off of like two treks of it and then flip my body over. And yes. I remember, and probably Jason can relate, flipping over and my shirt getting caught.
Yeah, it just tears
straight down. And I'm just kind of like, so I would just end up playing basketball, like no shirt. Cause I would just toss the shirt after that. Cause like, it was just too cut. But like, yeah, it was a fun time. Cause I probably messed up my knees like that long-term, just jumping off high gates and just kind of plopping down.
Did you do it that often?
Oh, I did it so many times. Cause it was just more so like a thing to do. Like I would just kind of if I was high jumping over something, because like I would just catapult over, like swing my legs over.
I feel like that was like a daily thing, like because I used to go to the little elementary school down the street from my house to hoop.
Yeah, I mean the gates were like roughly like maybe 6 feet. It wasn't like nothing crazy, but just the idea of like you see your friend do it, so you're gonna do it, and then after a while you just get kind of good at it. So you stick your hand, I mean you stick your foot in the little, you know, especially like the octagon type shape gates. And then you can just kind of scale up and just flip over.
I can climb. Tennis players don't have hops. We don't have any vertical. Like you're lucky if you can sneak a credit card behind, like underneath our feet if we jump. But that's the difference between tennis and basketball, though.
I am easily the worst tennis player ever, ever.
I actually highly doubt that, because if you played ball, there's actually a lot of similarity.
So the movement, yes. The movement for sure, which... I forgot who was trying to tell me that. I think it was like one of the instructors out in my college. It was 40 degrees. We're out on like this like kind of interesting court. And I'm getting so frustrated because I can't like really kind of hit it where I wanted the ball to go. So I'm like, yo, I got so much respect for tennis players. But now that I'm in New York City and physically, I don't think I'm going to be able to just play at a high level of basketball like I want to. So I'm going to probably get my permit and start playing out here at these parks in New York. So
good for you.
Yeah. Should be fun.
Yeah. Also 40 degrees, like nothing's fun in 40 degrees unless you're sweating.
They was forcing it in Iowa. It was like one of those winter courses. It was just like, nah, you sure we want to do this right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course you didn't like playing. Of course you didn't play well. I wouldn't play well in 40 degree weather. Yeah. That's not a good situation. You need some warm climate.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you ever hoop on those basketball courts that were on a tennis court?
Not necessarily. Actually, like at not country clubs, but like those clubs that kind of just, you know, they had like if you signed up at a certain time, they would remove the net.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I have. I forgot where it was, but yeah, no, I have. That's interesting because, you know, mostly basketball is kind of focused on the lines and stuff like that.
Right.
And seeing those lines would just throw me all the way off. Like, what's out? You have to create your kind of your own rules. Like, all right, if you pass this double line there, that's the out of bounds line. So, yeah, it's kind of similar to volleyball.
Hey, there would be random outs, like outlines when niggas play on the basketball court. Like, you just like, is that out? I don't know.
Speaking of basketball and tennis colliding. So during the pandemic, I think it was Federer or somebody who was doing like the whole challenge of like 100 volleys in a row on the wall because everyone was bored, didn't have anything else to do. So we were in Manhattan at the time. And so I was trying to hit 100 volleys off the backboard on a basketball.
I would be so tired.
That's dope. That looks like
it's actually not.
It looks fun. It looks fun, but I'm just saying like me trying to shoot on a little court, like the little mini court.
Yeah.
I can't like post the weight of the ball in the basket. So sometimes I'm either throwing it too hard or too short.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like if I'm trying to do that, I'll probably get it going like five times and I'll try to show off like, yo, Jason, look. And knock the ball over the gate and it's over. Like I'm not even gonna lie and just say like, oh, I would do that with ease. Nah.
Cause you only have like one speed. It's just like,
but also my attention, like I got really bad ADHD and like my attention span, like that's why I was never good at baseball and golf. Cause like at Topgolf, I'm like, I'll get in the motion and then I lose focus of the ball and I'm like trying to kill the ball. Like it just doesn't work out that bit.
I mean, I don't have ADHD and I'm not a fan of baseball. It's too slow. So, and so is golf. So, you know,
it's all good.
With tennis, do you think tennis is the sport that like requires the most endurance? Because I'll be watching them and like those 5-set matches and like even, you know, the women going in the 3-set matches and just like, man, you know, basketball requires a lot of endurance too, but you take significant breaks in basketball. Like you got halftime, you don't play every single minute of the game. With tennis, like it's just you.
Yeah, I mean, running a marathon requires probably more endurance, I would say, because then you're definitely going for 3-4 hours. But yeah, tennis is definitely one of the harder ones. I think what's made it so unique is that you have to use both your fast and kind of like your slow twitch muscles. So it requires a lot of sprinting and short bursts, you know, because the points go for maybe 30, 45 seconds. But then you also have to play these long periods of time, especially for the men too. So, I mean, I would say marathon runners are probably, their endurance is way better than us, but we're also, I think, generally speaking, probably like faster and better sprinters.
I think I like categorize the non-ball sports different from the ball sports, if that makes sense. Like running.
I do. Are you saying that they're not?
I'm not saying that they're not athletes. I'm not saying that, but I think, I mean, when you add hand-eye coordination into the activity, it becomes that much more difficult, I believe.
Yes.
But definitely. Yeah, shout out to marathon runners. I have all the respect in the world for them because I cannot do what they do at all.
I felt you treading very lightly there. You're like, I categorize. You're like, how should I say this?
Right.
Yeah. I also think that there's a major difference between competing indoors versus outdoors. So like outdoors, you got sun, wind, and if you're running, you're sprinting against the wind, it really gets tiring. But if you're indoors playing basketball or even like tennis, I can go much longer when I'm indoors because it's just, you don't have to fight anything in there.
What's your relationship with ballet?
Yeah. So I started dance when I was 4. I did also, you know, just the jazz, hip hop, tap, all that other gymnastics, all that stuff. And then at 7, I started doing ballet pretty seriously. And I did that for about 5 years. And I got to the point where it was essentially between tennis or ballet. And so I kind of checked out some ballet schools and, you know, drove to St. Louis to try out one and ended up choosing tennis at 12 years old.
Yo, Prem, what don't you do? You do it
all. I don't do a lot of things. I don't do a lot of things.
Hey, but you're doing all the like talented stuff. Like
No. Tennis, I tried playing basketball and it was
ballet. And then the next subject is piano and other instruments. What other instruments do you play besides piano?
Clarinet and saxophone.
What are your favorite between those three?
Oh, piano for sure.
Okay.
Clarinet, I mean, that's not one of those things that you can pull out and be like, hey, let me just sit down and pull out the reed. Because I don't know if you've seen how a clarinet saxophone works, but you got to pull out this wooden reed and you got to stick it in and you got to change it over time. Otherwise, just like a bunch of spit just gets on there. It's just really disgusting. Like piano, you can sit on there and, you know, tickle the ivories and play and flow and all that other stuff. But I will say that listening to a good jazz musician, blues, like that's awesome. I can't rip like that, but I do love piano.
I don't know how to play any instruments and I still envy people that can. That's the one thing, because I love music. I can listen to everything except country. I tried country. The only artist I think I got into was like Jason Aldean or something like that. Cause I was in Iowa. I was in Iowa and they just was playing it like crazy. I remember it was like a new album that came out. But besides that, I'd be like, yo, if I can play the drums, if I can play the piano,
play the drums.
You said what?
I wish I could play the drums.
It looks really cool.
Yeah. I love it.
My cousin is like a I don't know how to call it. I guess he's just a jazz player, you know, like overall. Yeah. But he has like albums and things like that. My cousin Marquell Jordan, he's dope. And he's been doing it since like, he probably was like 17, 18 years old. He's been in newspapers, yeah. Played in like different things out in Chicago. And I always thought that was really cool. And I'm just like, yo, maybe I can pick it up. And I like never tried to do it. And also at like all the schools I went to, like they never offered any like classes like that where you rent an instrument and you have to learn it. Like, so I never was pressured to get in and learn. Cause like some of our guests, they've had some interesting talents. And I'm like, yo, you know how to play this? What did Kazim know how to play?
What did he,
like a trombone?
Yeah, it was a trombone. Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's crazy. Because
when he was saying it, it made me think of Trombone Shorty.
Yeah, Trombone
Shorty. Yeah, I remember that. I played guitar for like, I actually took guitar lessons for like a year. And yeah.
That's the one I feel like.
All right, but I just didn't stick with it. I wish I would have, like, because that was my shit, man. Like, playing instruments is so fun.
It is. It's. I feel like exposure is really important. You know what I mean? I hope to, you know, with our son to expose him to a lot of different music. We try to play different kinds of music, and I'm hoping to maybe start him and see if he likes it, piano or drums. I feel like if you're a kid, male or female, and you can play the drums and play the drums really well, mm-hmm. like you're just kind of labeled cool for the rest. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, but if you can rip on the drums, just that's so cool.
Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite pop songs to play on the piano? Because I remember when I had the guitar, I used to play Bad Boy for Life. It was like from that era, and that was like a little easy guitar
riff. So you was over here riffing that? That's funny.
I am the worst person to ask because I'm very textbook. So yeah. I was taught to read music, whereas most musicians are more talented where they can just like let it, you know, just play and free flow and all that other stuff. So I never really played a ton of pop music. It was more classical because that's how I was taught. Mm-hmm. So I don't have anything.
So what was what was your classical? Was it Beethoven's Ninth? What were you doing?
Yeah, I was doing just like all the general typical classical music, Mozart, Beethoven. I would play some of the Disney songs, Cats, Broadway songs, Over the Rainbow. Just a lot of those like Broadway. The Disney was, I think Aladdin had come out at the time, the theme song, A Whole New World, Beauty and the Beast. I loved all the Disney songs that were coming out because I think I was like 12 or something at that time. So I loved playing all of those.
Yeah, Aladdin had some jams in there. You ain't never had a friend like me.
You are so cute. How do you know that song?
I mean, because like I was also like the light skinned kid in school, so they used to, like snap them in, call me Aladdin and shit like that back in the day. So
oh my gosh, that's really so funny.
Into that when I was a youth, but yeah,
that's hilarious.
side note: we actually just watched Aladdin the last weekend with our son, and they have a disclaimer at the beginning. Not that you guys have watched, or maybe you have watched a Disney movie lately, but there's a disclaimer in there saying that a lot of the depictions in there are stereotypes that Disney does not approve of. Oh, and wow. I was like, whoa.
That's crazy. Hey,
good for them.
Yesterday, bro, I was just, I was watching a bunch of Paul Mooney videos, RIP Paul Mooney. And, you know, most of his comedy was about race. And he was talking about how he didn't like Disney because, you know, he felt like a lot of their depictions were racist, and he was referencing Dumbo, and I guess they have some birds in there that are like kind of like minstrel type birds in Dumbo. You'll have to
minstrel?
Yeah, like kind of like a depictions of black people that make them seem
Like the minstrel show. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I remember Bugs Bunny and him. I think Bugs Bunny and him did had that too, like the character with the black face and the big lips.
Yeah, it's kind of like almost like a blackface type of thing. Like if you get a chance, you should watch this movie Bamboozled that Spike Lee did with Damon Wayans and Jada Pinkett. It's all about like minstrel show. Mos Def is in it too.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's been a minute since I've seen Dumbo or any of those things, so I honestly can't remember. But it is kind of crazy when you look at the cartoons and all these other illustrations. And I was like, wow, that's really cool that they're actually so. But then it's funny because I'm sorry, I'm taking this down a different route, but
no, we're good.
But it's funny because I'm like, wow, because cartoons and that type of cinematic creativity requires like sometimes just a lot of freedom. So now it's like, imagine creating a cartoon or a movie where you're like, wow, what can we put in here and what should we not? Male, female, skin color, all those different things.
Yeah.
You have to be really sensitive because kids really absorb all that stuff. So yeah.
I've actually been like way more locked in to see what type of images and, you know, thought processes that they're putting forth in these movies now, because when I was a kid, like I was just kind of watching it for the entertainment and not really all the sub context. But now that I'm an adult, I'm like, what are they putting out here for these kids to see? And I think they've been doing a pretty good job of policing themselves now, because it's so, you know, apparent in culture. And obviously they still like, you know, get things wrong from time to time. I was just reading something today about how they got backlash for Tilda Swinton being the Ancient One character from Doctor Strange, and it was supposed to be like an Asian man, and they cast
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, yeah, we shouldn't have did that.
So. I feel like Frozen is a good example, because there's that whole cliche storyline of the woman fighting and looking for her prince and being saved by a man. And the theme changes with Frozen, because rather than being saved by a man, she is saved by her family and also her sister, which is also a girl too. And I just love that, because it's like, I am, you know, I have a lot of like feminist type beliefs where it's like, you know, I want to empower women and girls. It's like, you don't have to rely on somebody else or that prince, you know, to save you and all that stuff. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, not at all. You guys are stronger than us.
So Prim, what do you got coming out? What are we looking forward to?
Well, I've been working on the next chapter with Prim Saripapad. As you guys know, it's a you know, it explores how athletes cope with different life transitions, like retirement and identity loss, but also just like injuries, identity change, peaks in performance, challenges, all that other stuff. And we took a little bit of a hiatus, or a really long hiatus, a year, actually. A lot of it had to do with the pandemic, and, you know, my contract wasn't renewed. I also started school in the counseling psychology PhD program. So now I feel like I have a better handle on things. Sports is back up and running, fortunately. We're having a sense of normalcy. Got finished that year in school, so I have a better handle on things. So right now we're actually recording a few interviews to relaunch the show. So that'll be really, really fun.
Nice. I can't wait to hear it.
What's up?
So,
you know, I see you're very much into psychology and obviously sports. What is your feeling on like sports psychology of great athletes, and like what separates them from the average, or even the guys and the women in the tier right below them? You know, what separates Serena, LeBron, Steph, Tom Brady, all these people from the guy that's just one little notch underneath them? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, aside from the physical sheer talent, because I just think that you have to have that. You know, we've been watching a little bit of Mike Tyson, this new documentary that's coming out. And when he's like 190 pounds at 12 years old, or I mean, that's, you just can't compete with that, you know, like that's not normal. But from a mental perspective, I actually find this common thread. There's like this obsession, and on the court and in sports, this competitive obsession is undeniable, between the Bradys of the world and LeBron James and Serena Williams. And they are so obsessed with winning. And sometimes it's to a fault and it ends up affecting other areas of their life. But within the realm of sports, they like are Tiger so.
Like Tiger Woods, not to cut you off, like Tiger
Woods. Yes. No, no, no. Yeah, exactly. Somebody like Tiger Woods. And some of that is, it's really interesting. Like no one has really done any research on this, but I do believe a lot of it is genetic, but also a lot of it is very conditioned. It has to be taught at a very young age. You just talk of Tiger Woods. We know the whole story about his dad, a Green Beret, and you know, having him hit 100 golf balls at 2-3 years old. So a lot of it has to be taught, but yeah, I mean, I think that's, it's such a fascinating thing because they're so obsessive, not just with their sport, but it's like how they eat, how they treat certain things, certain aspects, sleep. You'll hear stories of all of them and they're all competitive outside of their respective sport. Like even when they're playing Monopoly with their family, you know, like Tom Brady wants to crush everybody, no matter what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting thing to see the psychology of the people at the top of any industry, but the sports industry especially. It's just something to see.
Yeah.
All right, Prem, we got a question that we ask all our guests. What advice would you give your 18-year-old self?
Try to stop and smell the roses and enjoy the journey. It's something that I started to learn probably after my freshman year in college, but I was always so worried about getting to the final destination. And I never really understood what it meant to appreciate the process. Because I would say to my younger self, you're going to get to where you want to go. You're going to achieve the things that you want to achieve. So you might as well just stop the worrying and the anxiety and just enjoy the ride.
That's sound advice. Well, Prem, this has been a great episode. Hopefully we can have you back on later on down the line. Looking forward to hearing your pod coming out.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. And sorry for spending about 10 minutes dissecting Disney movies. But, you know, maybe that's proof that my movie selection isn't as awful as the Corky Romano.
Yeah, that Corky Romano, that's your favorite movie as well.
I don't even know what that is. So that's maybe something I need to watch or something. I don't know.
You should. If anything, just check out the cocaine, like this coke scene. It's really funny. He like accidentally sniffs it. The dogs go crazy. This German Shepherd. I think it's pretty funny.
From Deuce Bigelow, right?
Yeah.
Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows. Deuce Bigelow. Okay. He knows.
Yeah. It's not great cinema, but it might entertain you.
All right, well, I'll be sure to check it out. All right, guys.
Growing up the same wins the game.